Tom and Brian, this is Derek in New York City, where the upfronts and new fronts are in full swing. So the upfronts, for those unfamiliar, is that time of year when networks bring in advertisers from around the country to give them an early look at their slate for the rest of the year as well as the year after. They do this in hopes to get a good gauge on what's working, what's not. And TV advertisers have the ability to commit to things early, hence the word upfronts. We're also seeing something similar on the digital end, which is what we call the new fronts. So you have companies like YouTube, Crackle, Hulu, Machinima, and so forth, pitching their shows and content as well. They're, I believe, doing this really more to try to chip away and get those TV ad dollars that we know still holds a lion's share of traditional advertising budgets. So what's interesting this year? One, millennials. You're seeing more and more companies now looking to specifically reach that new demographic. And we know that they're not watching content on traditional television channels and platforms as the other age brackets do. And so you're seeing these companies now really devoting a good chunk of their presentations to talk about how they're reaching this group, this audience. And they're doing this a couple of ways. One, definitely by using influencers. So you're seeing a lot of YouTube talent, celebrities, people that I think most people wouldn't ever recognize, but really appeal to this younger crowd. They're also talking about programs that are a little bit more digestible, so you're seeing kind of small snippets of content, content that's more consumable and just not necessarily distributed in traditional channels that we're seeing with television networks. Another big thing, data. You're seeing a lot of companies talk about how they're able to follow users from different platforms, from mobile devices to desktop, and really identifying what type of content they watch and like so that they can serve the right ad to them. And that kind of goes into the metrics after, where they're able to then follow the user and see how they're engaging with video or with the advertising from the video after, which is where I think digital video really shines, because you do have that trackability and measurability that you don't necessarily have with TV. So a lot of really interesting things happening right now, and I think we'll see a few more interesting tidbits as the upfronts and new fronts continue for the rest of the month. So some really exciting things on the advertising end and on the content end. Again, I think we're seeing a lot of big changes out in the landscape, and we'll probably continue to see more changes to come. Anyways, reporting from New York, this is Derek. Bye.
Welcome to Cord Killers, our mission to report the intel from the front lines of the cord cutting revolution so that you, my friends, can watch the stuff you love when you want, where you want, how you want, with whomever you want, on whatever device you want. And that, Brian Brushwood, was real-life madman Derek Chen.
Oh, man,
sending us in a live report from the new fronts in New York City.
Yeah, dude, he's our man on the inside. Always gives us the most insightful emails. And this one, he wrote, "Hi, Tom and Brian, hope all is well. Wanted to throw in my two cents on your discussion on Nielsen. While Nielsen has branched out to cover various forms of digital and non-TV media, their bread and butter still heavily fixed on the television medium. As far as I've seen and experienced, ComScore remains the preferred service for digital advertisers. That being said, I wouldn't go all conspiratorial on them. To Tom's point, it's more likely they're coming from the lens of TV, though it's easy to spin the news any way you want. Thank you so much, Derek Chen. We love your insights. Keep them coming, man."
Yeah, that was really cool to get the ad sales perspective. We're going to talk about some of the content that they were pitching that you'll be able to watch. Joining us to discuss that, Ms. Veronica Belmont, co-host of Sword and Laser, contributor on Daily Tech News Show, and host of your favorite red carpet shows.
Hello, how are you guys?
Good. Dude, how are you doing?
That's a fact, man. It is difficult to get me to tune in for red carpet. If you say the words Veronica Belmont, in. I'm there.
Oh, well, thank you. Hopefully I'll be able to do more in the future. It was a lot of fun.
If anybody doesn't know what I'm talking about, she did the Game of Thrones premiere, which, of course, was fantastic. We're going to be talking about Game of Thrones on Spoiler in Time. But let's start the show with our primary target. Brian.
Yes.
Veronica, our long national nightmare is over. Hulu will no longer be called Hulu Plus and Hulu. It'll just be Hulu, Brian, in order to reduce confusion, just Hulu.
Okay, can I say for the record, when I first read this, I was like, this is a dumb three-shell game switcheroo. You're not going to fool anyone. But then I thought about it more, and I'm like, this is a brilliant, brilliant thing, and it solves so many of the things that I hated about Hulu Plus. Hulu Plus as a standalone service sounds, it makes no sense. You have no idea where it fits in the ecosystem against Netflix, against Amazon Prime. However, if Hulu is just Hulu, and you have Hulu, and then you have content that you want to access, and it just politely says, oh, this content is for Hulu subscribers, you ought to subscribe. There's all these benefits. There's a lot of cool things on the other side of subscribing to Hulu. Then all of a sudden, I get it. All of a sudden, the free part of Hulu becomes this ambassador appendage to reach out to new viewers, and those on the inside, the subscribers, get to run free in a monk. I think it's brilliant.
And the other thing to keep in mind here, 60% of their now 9 million subscribers no longer watch Hulu on a computer at all. They're watching on mobile. They're watching on set-top boxes. They're watching more. They're watching 30% more content than last year, but they're watching it in different places. So the other thing is, I personally feel like Hulu now makes sense to pay for. I didn't used to. It used to be confusing. There were things that I would get on the desktop that I wouldn't get if I paid for Hulu Plus. They didn't make any damn sense to me at all. They've sort of worked through a lot of those legacy arrangements, and it starts to make more sense to where, Brian, what you're saying plays out. Veronica, does changing Hulu to just be Hulu make any difference to you?
Not really. I mean, I understand the reasoning behind it, but at the same time, I'm still pretty bitter over the fact that I have to watch advertisements, even though I'm a subscriber. That is something that has kind of stuck with me. It's like a growing thorn in my guts where I'm just like, why do I have to see these ads? I'm giving you money!
So, for me, it's the opposite. It was a thorn I wouldn't touch. I'm like, I'm not touching that stupid thorn. I'm not going to pay to get pierced by a thorn. And then I finally got to the point where I'm like, oh, but I actually want to watch those Saturday Night Live episodes. And now I'm like, you know, this thorn doesn't hurt that bad. I can live with this thorn. In fact, I think the fat in my side has grown around the thorn. I can barely feel it anymore. And now I'm watching Hulu all the time.
Can I make a very surprising case for ads on Hulu? Because again, in the play out there, you got in the playing field, you got to, you know, you got your minor players like Crackle, but you got Amazon Prime and you got Netflix. Hulu is not playing the game they're playing. They're playing these library. They're trying to be HBO. Hulu's trying to be one thing. They're trying to be television on your computer. Hulu wants to be television on your phone.
But are we not past that model? Isn't that something we're trying to move past?
I'm tired
of television.
You and me. But when I say television, we all think of ad breaks. We all think of traditional television.
I think that's a smart thing to do. Where I skip past all the ads.
I don't know. I'm seeing you shake your head, Tom.
I'm not buying that one. I think Hulu wants to be exactly what Netflix and Amazon want to be. I think the advantage to having the ads is that Hulu can afford more content earlier in the game and stay competitive. But what I see from Hulu is like, hey, we just acquired all the episodes of Seinfeld. We've got these great back catalog on Hulu. It's worth paying for. Nobody else has Seinfeld the way that Netflix got Cheers, the way that Netflix got Friends, etc. I see them pitching original shows starring James Franco, produced by J.J. Abrams. They're doing November 22nd, 63, the Stephen King book. I see them doing a show directed by Jason Reitman, the guy who did Juno and Up in the Air. It's going to be a comedy drama. Amy Poehler is producing a comedy called Difficult People. Jason Katims, the guy who did Friday Night Lights and Parenthood, is doing a show called The Way. They even got Freddie Wong doing a reality behind-the-scenes show of Rocket Jump's Action Clips. This sounds to me like Hulu's saying, we are TV the way Netflix and Amazon is TV, not so much relying on their legacy of, oh, we were the catch-up service for broadcast.
Even happy to pay for, I would pay the same subscription if I just had to watch pre-roll ads or ads at the end or something that I wasn't needing to skip or try to get past or wait through. Like, if they want to fight up against Netflix and all these other providers, the ads thing just makes people annoyed. And people in the chat room are saying, yeah, will you pay for cable channels with ads? I don't watch the ads on cable channels because I time shift them.
Man,
I feel like we've had the same argument for the past like 3 years.
I'll tell you what though. That's you and that's me and that's Tom and we're all on the same page. By the way, I cede your point, Tom. However, I'm going to say when I talk to my mom and she wants to express something like make a cultural touchstone, she won't be quoting content. She'll quote the recent funny ad that's going around that she's referencing. I mean, it's like there's a whole generation that ads are these little entertaining vignettes that happen to advertise dog food or Ford or whatever.
A dying generation.
Maybe so.
Dying generation.
Veronica's almost a millennial. Are you a millennial?
I'm
don't know.
Technically
are you Gen
a millennial.
Y?
It's That's look, we don't profile based on what generation you are here.
I don't see don't generation. That's
but here's what I'm going to say. My point is Hulu's growing, and yes, they're hoping to capture the millennial folks. That's why they're getting the Freddie Wongs and so on. But also, I would bet you money where they're growing the most is in the older generations, because they understand TV and they understand that Hulu is just TV on their computer.
And what I will say, Brian, is one of the things that has kept me, the thing that got me to finally pay for Hulu, was wanting to get those episodes of Saturday Night Live from the back catalog that I couldn't watch any other way, those full episodes, classic episodes. What has kept me there is me in the other room while Eileen's watching something and I can't access the DVR. And I know I could go buy a thing and do it, but I'm already paying for Hulu, right? So I go, oh, well, I can watch Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. here. And the ads don't really bother me. I think like they would. When the Shield moved to Hulu, I was really upset. I was like, great, now I'm gonna, they go away. They give me a chance to take a breath and think, and I don't even notice them.
But also keep in mind, there's two aspects to good ad placement. First of all, there should be a variety of ads, and I'm going to guess that it's nowhere near as bad as it was 4 years ago, where you were only watching the same ad over and over and over again. And also that they're targeted, you know, that by demographic and by, you know, the content that you're watching, that is more likely to be relevant to your interest. We've talked about this before. I actively enjoyed sitting through a 4-minute Halo Battlestar Galactica style vignette because it was interesting.
I'm trying to remember. I think I was watching Last Man on Earth on Hulu, and they kept advertising the fashion line with Carrie Underwood. I don't even remember what it was. And that was one of the few times recently where they repeated it every break. And I'm like, wow, totally missing. Like, not, I lost on me not buying those jeans.
So look, I'm not asking you, Veronica, I'm not asking you to like the flavor of ads ever. You know, you don't like ads and you're never gonna. But would you at least concede that it's better now than it was 4 years ago, the state of online ads on services like Hulu?
Veronica Belmont, are you better off now than you were 4 years ago?
Absolutely. I can definitely say the quality of the ads has improved. Though it still bothers me on a very deep level that I am paying for a subscription service and I am getting ads when I pay for many subscription services that I do not receive ads on, including technically HBO and Netflix. And, you know, that bothers me. It feels like they're not being competitive in that regard.
Yeah, you know what? I'm going to say this much. If you subscribe to a service, any kind of service, it seems like they should never take a break from the content in order to talk about anything other than the content. Now, having said that, I encourage everyone to go on over to patreon.com/cordkillers and become a subscriber. And you'll never have to hear us stop in order to... Hold on, I'm caught in a loop. We just want to thank the 2,098 patrons who are kicking in a few nickels and dimes. It really does make a huge difference. All those little bones add up, and they keep us loud, live, and independent. Thank you to all of our fantastic patrons, and we'll do our best to not advertise in another couple of segments, but I'm definitely going to advertise.
What Hulu does is it says, look, if you pay, you get fewer advertisements. And what we say is, if you all give the value back to the show that you think you're getting out of it, we'll get better. For instance, we won't forget to tell you that Hulu also signed a deal with AMC Networks to bring in back catalogs of future episodes of new AMC shows. That won't happen if you, the person who hasn't been backing us, will get into patreon.com/cordkillers and support us today.
That's a hell of a point there, Tom.
Do it for the children and for Signals Intelligence.
Yes.
And the children of Signals Intelligence. This is our segment where we talk about the streaming services. Of course, Hulu is one of the streaming services. YouTube is another one. They have their new front as well. And maybe we didn't really talk too much about the originals that Hulu is bringing. They've got some big names that we mentioned there. YouTube has got originals as well. Now, they don't have a lot of show names. They're doing it different. They are definitely targeting the millennials. They made a big deal how they reach more 18 to 49-year-olds on mobile than any television network. YouTube visits are up 40%.
Wait, real quick there, Tom. I feel like you just said a statement that bears saying again in slow motion, that they reach more 18 to 49-year-olds on mobile alone than any television network.
Yeah, but TV networks are crap on mobile. It's kind of a kind of fake. Oh, wait.
No.
I mean, honestly, I'm just going to gloss by it because it's really not that deep.
Well, no,
hold on. Oh, wow. You mean an app that's been around for 10 years reaches more people on mobile than old broadcast networks that no one watches that just had their apps come out and require you to have a cable subscription to watch.
No, not terribly
surprising. By the way, my wife works for YouTube.
Tom, I think you misread the article, because the specific thing says YouTube is reaching more people in that demographic on mobile. Than any TV network is also on mobile. Doggone it. I thought it said than any TV network, full stop, because it says
that would have been more impressive.
The exact language it says than any TV network is, period. So it's kind of ambiguous.
They're reading the Verge article. If you actually go find out what they said, it's that. Than TV networks. Anyway, it's actually written. Last year they were saying they had greater reach than television in general. So it's actually a step down from there where they were a year ago. What is more impressive, though? YouTube visits are up 40% from last year. Time spent viewing is up 50% from last year. So more people are coming. They're spending more time. And that, you know, YouTube can't be upset about that trend. Here are the originals. The Fine Brothers, who do the People React videos, are going to do a scripted series taking a satirical look at singing competitions. Full disclosure, my wife works particularly with YouTube Space on original programming, often with the Fine Brothers, so don't believe anything I say about any of this. Prank versus Prank is going to do a prank show, but with celebrities instead of just the normal prank show. Joey Graceffa is going to do a murder mystery reality series with YouTube stars. The Smosh guys, Ian and Anthony, are going to do a show where they work at a theme restaurant and then add in hilarity. And Awesomeness TV has struck a deal to create feature films starring YouTube creators, which will premiere on YouTube.
Right on. Smart plays across the board on all of that. 40% year-over-year growth. Are you kidding me? That's a little bit huge,
Of these people were.
Wait, you didn't?
I know who the Fine Brothers are. That's it. I've heard of Smosh. This may be a generational thing, but
I do think this is important, is that we just said Hulu's going to be doing a James Franco vehicle produced by J.J. Abrams. They're going to do an Amy Poehler-produced thing, a Jason Reitman-produced thing. You go to YouTube, and it's Fine Brothers and Smosh and Prank versus Prank. Those are huge names in YouTube. I mean, I know they are. Saying how many subscribers these people have, because they knew a lot of people in the audience were going to have the reaction that Veronica had. But is that enough? I don't see anything branching out of that audience.
To be honest, I'm glad you don't, because it was a bit of a fiasco when they just made it rain to every kind of outside creator with any kind of clout, expecting to buy legitimacy by bringing in outside names. That yielded nothing. Instead, they're doubling down by growing from within, and they're realizing that as these millennials age, they're not going to suddenly stop watching their favorite YouTube stars. That this is going to be the dominant form of entertainment in the next 15, 20 years. This crowd. Now, whether or not they're continuing to do their blogs or vlogs, or whether we move into more scripted stuff, this is where the interest is. This is where the eyeballs are. And that is the pure gold in this biz.
So this is the MTV of 20 years ago.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think we're going to be amazed, just like we were amazed when MTV started doing reality programming, which, by the way, for all of our eye rolling in the 90s, they were very ahead of the curve on and ended up dominating television in the early 2000s.
And by the way, the real world still on the air.
That's correct. They were 1,000,000% right. Likewise, we're going to roll our eyes the first time, when the Fine Brothers or whoever put out their scripted movie. But within 10 years, it's going to be the biggest thing. Like, every vlogger on the planet will have some kind of movie deal, and they'll be smaller deals.
I am not going to be surprised. I just don't know. I missed the boat completely. Like, as you mentioned, I'm on the tail end of the millennial thing. I didn't follow up with these people. I don't know who many of them are. I know Justine. That's kind of it. And it's just like, I'm not a part of that world. Right? I don't watch these things. So I just feel left out. So I just watch the stuff that I know.
Well, it's funny, too, because both you and I are close enough in age that we both view television with the aura that it always had. Like, television was where legit superstars are. And even as all three of us enjoy a lot of success in new media and in the YouTube space, for some reason, I don't know about you, Veronica, but I still want to go worship the living room box god. And that's part of what made it so. I'm seeing you smile. That's part of what made it so exciting to get Hacking the System.
Oh yeah, and I'm actively working for like television projects, like looking for work in that space. Like that's for me, that's still the white whale. And maybe I'm wrong. I probably am. Maybe I should have stuck with YouTube stuff way back when. But I guess that's just not the way my mind works.
Yeah, I'm actively trying to get monks to do my illuminated manuscripts myself. So, you know, come on, people. You don't know the Fine Brothers? You don't know Smosh?
I know who they are.
I love that Veronica and I are the TV funny duddies.
That's pretty funny, isn't it? All right. Let's gear up with a little news about the gear we use.
Indeed.
Got a couple stories for you today. One, very sad.
Yeah, man. I'm kind of shedding a tear over this. I didn't expect this to upset me as much as it did.
Well, and it's one of those things where more people are going to be upset than this than actually used it, which is the problem and why it's dying. Ed Bott says that he was told by Microsoft in a private meeting that Windows 10 will not be able to run Windows Media Center. And Windows 8, you had to actually get an add-on and put it on yourself to run it. But Windows 10 won't even support Windows Media Center. And apparently it's because Microsoft just doesn't see anybody using it. I mean, they run Windows Media Center. They know when people are using it. They're like, it's just not worth supporting. Nobody is running Windows Media Center. Now, I know there are plenty of people in this audience who are raising their hands and stamping them down on the floor saying, I have a Windows Media PC right now that I'm watching you on. But there just apparently weren't enough of you. And the other side of it is there is Plex. There is Kodi, which used to be XBMC. So you have options to do this still if you want. Microsoft's just saying it isn't worth it for us.
Dude, you nailed it. Like, half the people moaning, including me, are the people who always really intended to get around to configuring their Windows Media PC and never quite did it. I did love that they tried it. It was a very forward-thinking thing to do, and I still, you know, I remember being really impressed that one of my less tech-savvy friends was using it as his main way to access content on his Xbox, essentially using his Xbox as a DVR by accessing content from his media PC. But
And you'll still be able to do things like that. You'll still be able to access content through your Xbox. It just won't be Windows Media Center anymore, which is honestly in some ways a lot easier for people because they don't have to run this thing. The advantage of Windows Media Center for me was the 10-foot interface. And I had a Windows Media PC. I had a gateway that I used for several years. But I just found that it was always easier to use a Roku or an Apple TV than it was to work my way through Windows Media Center, even though there were big advantages to Windows Media Center.
Yeah.
I don't know why. It just always felt impenetrable to me. Like, I just couldn't. Like, there were just easier solutions. But maybe that's what you're saying.
And that's kind of, yeah, that is kind of what I'm saying. Is like, even me who was like, oh, I want to use this. I want to put it through its paces. I'm like, yeah, but I could just do this and watch Netflix, right? Mm-hmm. So, I don't know.
And we've talked about this before. Like, you know, I'm a steadfast believer that convenience trumps fidelity. And it doesn't matter how good or how extensive the experience with Windows Media PC is. If it's just even slightly easier to wait until it comes out on Netflix or wait until it's out on some other platform, then you will.
This next story makes me think that there are like factions within TiVo warring over whether to be nice to cord cutters or not. It's like the ghost pepper of TiVo Romeo deals. Apparently, for a limited time, which is probably already over, but it seems to come and go based on what browser you're using, you could buy a TiVo Romeo over the air for $300 with lifetime service. Normally, the Romeo is $50, but you have to pay $15 a month service charge. So if you're going to use it for 18 months, this would pay for itself. And you can compare that to the Channelmaster DVR Plus, which comes with a terabyte hard drive for $399. This was a steal. But apparently, a lot of people never could see the deal. And it just went away. And I'm like, what is up with TiVo? First of all, they only sell their most basic model with an over-the-air tuner at all. And then they kind of do these weird deals from time to time. We're like, hey, it's really cheap. Oh, no, it's not anymore. Oh, we're selling it at Best Buy now or not.
Well, I'll tell you what, TiVo's big problem with for me has always been the service fee. You know, I was one of the first original TiVo Generation 1 users, and you know, you bought early enough, you paid $99, you got lifetime channel service or whatever. And the idea of paying some amount for the privilege of knowing what's on, you know, it's like, what are we, buying the TV guide on our way out of the grocery store? Is ridiculous. And so I think this is a brilliant, brilliant deal, and you should absolutely do it if you can get it.
So you could find it.
Yeah.
I don't see it option to me when I
No, I didn't see it either today, so it may be totally gone.
I'm looking on TiVo.com right now, and it seems if you get the Romeo DVR, not the OTA, for cable and HD antennas, there's a product lifetime service for $500.
Yeah,
but that doesn't have over the air. I don't think, does it?
No, it doesn't come. It's not the OTA.
No, this is digital cable or HD antenna.
Man, TiVo really has cornered the market on making it easy for our grandparents to get on the cord cutting revolution.
I wonder if you called and tried to get that. If you said you saw the ad, but then couldn't replicate it, if they would give it to you. Sometimes if you just talk to someone and ask them, they can pull it off.
In the CNET stories about this, some people tried that, and the TiVo reps were like, we don't know what you're talking about.
Ah, sons of bitches.
Yeah, I know.
It's too bad, too, because I maintain, you know, TiVo has the best interfaces, and I love what they do. It's just that their pricing is insane.
Yeah, I was able to get the Romeo with lifetime service back when they offered it. That's the other thing, is it doesn't look right now, if you pay the $50, that you can even buy lifetime service. Because I just looked at it as like, well, of course I'm not going to pay monthly for this. So to me, the cost of the device is whatever they're charging me plus the lifetime service. But if they're not even selling the lifetime service, except unless you could find the sneaky deal, like TiVo has got some kind of self-loathing going on inside. I just don't understand it.
I that's usually a sign that things are going real great internally, is that they have crazy all over the place schizophrenic pricing and messaging.
It's magic, Brian. They made their deal disappear.
Along with my interest. Wah, wah.
You know, another place you can get magic is scamstuff.com.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, when you say get magic, I assume you must mean the May issue of Magic Magazine.
Hey.
Featuring yours truly on the cover. Yeah, man, Scam Stuff, we sell goodies. That's another way you could support us, is if you want to pick up some one-of-a-kind pieces of magic history. After 20 years since I got into magic, sure enough, it turns out my goofy mug is on the cover of this month's Magic Magazine. So I bought a bunch of them, and I signed a bunch of them, and we put together a little bundle where you could get not only the this month's Magic Magazine for $6.50, the cover price, signed, but also I still have a few of my 2003 promotional materials that are hilarious, as I faked a cover of me on what I called Bizarre Magic Magazine. And it's awful, and you'll look at it and you'll laugh, and it's those genuinely sat in my garage for a decade, and now you get to have them and laugh at them.
Actually, can I see the earlier, the fake cover?
Yeah, go for it. Here, we'll see. Like... As a matter of fact,
if you want to know what Brian Brushwood's garage smells like, head to scamstuff.com.
I don't know if you could zoom in on that at all, but
I kind of like that better.
Well, I modeled it. It's clearly modeled on Magic or Maxim magazine at the time. But dude, it's crazy times. It's a big, big moment in my life. And you can pick it up. It's only $6.50.
Go check it out.
Really
another
excited.
Way.
I was excited about that.
To support the show. All right, Veronica, are you ready to discuss certain segments of the show in 60 seconds or less, unless we decide to give an extension, which we often do?
Okay.
It's time for the front lines.
Front lines!
Comcast is bringing Xfinity Share to iOS and Android so that anyone who subscribes to Triple Play Xfinity package, the one with the phone service, can stream video to their own X1 cable box or one of anyone else they know who has an X1 cable box, but only one at a time.
Wait, hold on. Wait, walk me by this. It's a good thing that you are paying so much for cable, because now you can use this app to stream cable to your cable box.
Not cable. It's like Periscope, right? So I'm at the Little League game. Grandma's home. I can stream from the game to the X1 box, and Grandma can watch the Little League game.
And it'll be on the big screen.
Exactly.
Ooh, that's actually not bad. I just I feel like the number of people that's going to be useful for is not a lot.
That sounds totally Comcastic to me, which may mean something different to people who know me than other people.
All right,
Comcast.
We got something that makes slightly more sense. The website called The Information says Comcast is working on its own YouTube competitor meant to deliver video to people with Comcast's cable TV package. So how long before they give up and scrap that idea?
It's like we can do a YouTube version, because then we don't have to pay licensing for worldwide rights. But it's really going to be best for people who have Comcast. So we have to convince some creators to come in and make video for it. And I think that's where it breaks down.
I mean, you kind of lost me at YouTube competitor that's run by Comcast. Veronica, do you see yourself? If you don't like YouTube, maybe you'll like Comcast's answer to it.
No.
I'm good on that.
I'm good on real YouTube. Thanks.
Is this the kind of thing that you just say to please the board shareholders and be like, yeah, no, YouTube, yeah, we're working on it. We're making our own YouTube.
Well, they hired a bunch of people away from YouTube, apparently. So it's got a shot in hell, but not much of one, I don't think.
So a shot
you know, when you got a lot of money, you can take a lot of chances. In more old industry imitating new news, NBC is making all 13 episodes of Aquarius, starring David Duchovny, available for streaming on NBC.com and the NBC app, starting with the show's premiere May 28th. Stunt or new standard?
Quiet acknowledgement that there'll probably not be a second season of this program.
I don't know anything about this show, but I like the idea of networks doing that. I think that's a great idea. But, you know, that might not be, as you said, it does not bode well for perhaps a show if they're trying to drum up that much initial attention.
Well, now that's interesting, right? Because if Hulu does this or Netflix does it, we are like, oh, this is great. But if NBC does it, we take it as a bad sign for the show, when really it's just NBC saying we want to get the eyeballs everywhere they are, because they're going to sell ads on these streaming versions too.
Dude, remember when there was day and date release, the first movie that they decided to try it with, the industry was Tower Heist. It's like, let's experiment with this garbage that's going to be gone in 20 minutes anyway.
Fair point.
Hey, man, the United Kingdom's High Court ruled last week that UK ISPs must block 5 websites that host the downloads for Popcorn Time BitTorrent clients. So that's it. Nobody in the UK will ever be able to use Popcorn Time to watch copyright infringing content ever again. Problem solved.
There's no way they'll be able to figure out another way to get Popcorn Time in the UK. So that's it.
Congratulations, UK.
They won.
You finally defeated...
Also, it doesn't affect the operation of Popcorn Time in any way, by the way.
I could just see someone like, you know, it's late night with his fingers in his hair, and he's just like, wait, it's all so simple. What if we just made piracy illegal? Guys, I've got it! We can make pirates stop if they know they're breaking the law!
It really shows me that they understand how the concept of BitTorrent works. That by shutting down just 5 of those ISPs will block 5 of those ISPs will prevent
all
them
gone.
From BitTorrenting
no
content.
More I mean,
they have to know they're not actually changing anything. They're saying they're doing this so they can say they. Hey man, we tried. Look, we're on your side.
Hey, no high court needed to close Sky's 3D channel, which will shut down in June, and programming will move to on demand. About 60 3D shows and films will still be available on demand for both of you who are interested.
Can I confess something? That, first of all, this to me is very much a symptom of the fact that at the consumer end, 3D is still, you know, garbage in the living room. But I watched Avengers in 3D, and I'm kind of glad I did. I'm not anti-3D, but just, you know, it's too bad that it sucks in the living room.
You were in a theater.
Yes.
Correct. Not in your house.
Well, no, correct. Well, and that's just a hardware issue. In the house, it's just not as good as in the theater.
I don't know if it's a hardware issue, though. I think it's also a glasses issue. You don't mind sitting in a darkened theater with crazy glasses on if you get 3D. You don't want to do it in your house.
But also, like, I believe most of the units are active polarization as opposed to we could talk about it later. The shutter thing is what they're doing at home.
I like when the time runs out, you just go, well, we'll talk about it later.
Yeah it's just 3D.
HBO will no longer send DVDs to the press for review. Instead, they're going to provide a secure streaming link, HBO EVP of Commerce Corporate Communications Quentin Schaefer said in an email to reviewers, quote, amazingly enough, it wasn't until just recently that a DVD was leaked online. That's not what he said. Really?
That's a quote. That's what he said.
What world?
In the email.
What world is he living in? That's amazing.
No, what he's saying is like, wow, it's kind of surprising it took this long for 4 episodes of Game of Thrones to link from a DVD review. So we're finally changing our policy. I mean, there's so many ways to go with this. Like, one is like, you waited until it leaked to change the policy when you could have changed it a while ago. There's also the just sort of like, well, that kind of sucked. Well, I guess we're changing our policy.
Yeah. Well, and it's sort of like this was an obvious decision to make about 2008 or so, like 5-7 years back.
I got a preview release. I don't know if you've ever gotten, either one of you have gotten these. I got a preview release of a movie that I was helping out doing some stuff with. It was a small independent release. It was not even going to get a nationwide release. It was releasing in independent theaters here and there. They sent me a streaming link that I had to like log into, and it had a time like this will not work after 28 days or whatever. And yet HBO was still sending out DVDs.
Well, I mean, I guess HBO just had an established way of doing it, and they
hasn't underestimate bit us in the ass yet. Oh, it just bit us in the ass.
I mean,
it just seems like a strange way of doing things. Like they know that that's probably the easiest way for things to get online, other than just sending out a file that people could automatically upload. But I like the time sensitive, like deletable file ideas too. That works a little bit
better.
Not even
deletable, just stream. Like an access to a stream. So you'd have to have an internet connection to watch it too. Also, I guess now that they have HBO Now, they feel like they can reliably stream to people.
Just remember, never underestimate the power of inertia. They've been doing it that way, and it's worked good enough for so long. Really, I mean, that's the right call, is just go until it breaks, and then be like, all right, now we'll do
that's
something.
Exactly what they did. I think you're right. I think you nailed it. Let's nail under surveillance now.
Let's find a better way to say that part, Tom.
Are we still doing phrasing? Hey, remember when we told you Hulu and Turner had struck a deal? Well, the fruits of that deal are becoming apparent. 23 Adult Swim series, including things like Harvey Birdman, Venture Brothers, Rick and Morty, Aqua Teen Hunger Force, and more, now available on Hulu. In most cases, the full series, like all the seasons, all the back issues available.
Yeah, full seasons available, and if nothing else, you would now have no excuse. All of you, watch all of Rick and Morty right now, because it's coming back in July, I think.
Hey, all the Venture Brothers.
Yeah. Dude, I fell off on the Venture Brothers. I got to get back in both those, and once they kept changing the title on Aqua Teen Hunger Force, there's entire seasons lost to me that I can't wait to see.
When they changed the title?
What do you mean? They stopped calling it Aqua Teen Hunger Force, and then they called it something else, thinking that they were being clever, changing the name, not realizing that it was breaking all of the DVR selections. And so now people who were always DVRing, all of a sudden it wasn't showing up. And in fact, if you look, it calls it like Aqua TV Show is what it actually says on the email, because at some point they acknowledged, yeah, that was a dumb idea. We probably shouldn't have done that. That was funny.
Why did they do that? I don't know about that.
Just because they thought it was funny. Here, as a matter of fact, alternative here. Titles. Read this here.
Okay, so in season 8, it was called Aqua Teen Unit Patrol, Aqua Unit Patrol Squad 1. Season 9, Aqua Something You Know Whatever. Season 10, Aqua TV Show. And this new season, the last season, is Aqua Teen Hunger Force Forever.
That's brilliant.
Back to forever.
That's pretty funny.
Netflix has commissioned a 13-episode animated series based on the Dr. Seuss book Green Eggs and Ham, due to arrive in 2018. Jared Stern of Wreck-It Ralph fame is on board to write the show, and Ellen DeGeneres is producing.
Makes me think of the Amazon book review that says, well, what a surprising read. I really thought he was not going to like Green Eggs and Ham, and when he did at the end, that was amazing. 5 stars, would read again.
It makes me think of the Peanuts animations that I grew up loving, where it's like, oh, the characters from the comic are coming to life. Like, I feel like that would be the way to make this successful, is to just bring that feeling of that book to life. And that seems to be like what Ellen DeGeneres would want to do. They're saying it's the most expensive animated series ever.
Well,
I don't know if that's true, but
it'll probably be gorgeous, you know? It can look like hand-drawn drawings coming to life. I think it could be cool.
I'm trying to figure out what the plot of that show is going to be, though, because there's only so many things that you can not like.
Well, will he like Green Eggs and Ham?
Green Eggs and Ham.
I mean, it's a world building thing. You have an art style. You have a couple of You have a couple of characters. Beyond that, you can kind of sketch in. You have the overall idea of trying new things. You know,
seems will like he like them in a boat? Tune in next week.
Perfect. That's amazing.
I have been watching a lot of television. That's the other part of Under Surveillance. We talk about things you can watch. I've been watching Arrow, which I think is having its best season ever. I've been watching Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., which has not, but it's been okay. Bob's Burgers is back, which is consistently hilarious. I'm a week behind on Silicon Valley, but I'm liking the two episodes that I've seen so far. And I missed last night's Last Man on Earth, which has been kind of just barely holding on for me. But apparently the finale is great. I've been also watching Once Upon a Time. We'll talk about Avengers Age of Ultron. We'll talk about Daredevil in the spoiler in time. But I enjoyed both of those, actually. And we'll talk about The Shield and spoiler in time. Giving Veronica some time to think about what she's been watching. Brian, what have you been watching?
I did watch Avengers. We'll talk about that in spoiler in time. Daredevil, I only got to episode halfway through episode 12. So, and to be honest, I kind of already know how that one ends. So we could talk through that. And I guess you could spoil the ending for me. It would be fine. But here's the big question. Do you trust me? And I'm talking to everyone at home. I'm talking to everyone listening to my voice right now. Do you trust me enough for me to hand you a wrapped present? It's a 10-minute independent production called Prisoner 42. And the only way you'll enjoy it the way I enjoyed it is if you go in knowing absolutely nothing. It's on Vimeo.
I see. Okay.
Prisoner 42. Just sit down, give yourself 10 minutes, and watch, and then send me a tweet. Let me know what you think.
Is it scary?
No. There's no gotcha surprises or any kind of scare. It's not like a screamer video or anything.
Okay.
But watch Prisoner 42 and let me know what you think on Twitter.
Fair enough. Well, I've been watching is this segment only for TV shows or can we talk about movies too? He said Age of Ultron.
Anything?
Okay, so I just saw Ex Machina last night.
Oh yeah, I watched that last
pretty
week.
Amazing. Yeah, it was good.
I don't ever do this, but I think I may just make a project of riding my bike out to go to the Alamo Drafthouse and just watch it by myself, because I get the feeling that I should see it in the theater while it's still relevant, because right now people are good at not talking about where stuff goes, but it sounds like it goes in a very interesting place and I want to catch it beforehand.
It does. You know, I thought the bigger ideas in Her were better and more interesting to me. But this was a very well-crafted film. It was very beautiful. The soundtrack was amazing. It's one of the guys from Portishead. But overall, I thought the societal story and the ideas in Her were more relevant to me, if that makes sense.
Yeah, right on. Right on.
But maybe it doesn't because you haven't seen it yet. But
it's funny you can't help but try to figure out, you know, your brain's always turning. Like I've heard other people compare it to Her, which kind of at least alerts me to what kind of space it's in. So I'm excited.
Yeah. Go ahead.
I was going to say the comparison to Her is apt on the fact that it's artificial intelligence and what makes consciousness and what makes, you know, something a person. Mm-hmm. But I think otherwise it's entirely different.
It's a very different film. It's completely different in tone. It's completely different in style. The stories are completely different. But I think if you're talking about a topic that you're going to discuss after the movie, I think artificial intelligence is that topic, and they handle both of the they both handle that discussion very differently.
Yeah. No. It's almost like you want to see both of them to get a wider perspective on the issue of artificial intelligence because it's going to give you different angles on it.
Yeah. Exactly. And I did say that I wanted a hot male AI film to come out, like after I saw both of these films, because they have, you know, attractive sounding or attractive looking artificial intelligence. But everyone was like, what about Terminator? What about Transcendence? What about AI with Jude Law? What about blah, blah, blah? I'm like, okay, I get it. I'm talking like, okay, fine.
Okay, this is interesting. Right. So when it's an attractive female, the AI movie is more cerebral. When it's an attractive male, it's an action movie.
Oh, my gosh. That's pretty sexism. Much. Is that reverse sexism or just sexism?
I don't know if I'd call it reverse sexism, but it's I hadn't noticed it before.
Yeah. Interesting. That's amazing. Yeah.
But they are very action-y oriented, and these films are more think pieces.
Maybe it's because you'll get a guy to pay attention to the movie and it's cerebral themes if you put a lady in front of them, whereas you have to have action around a hot guy to make them pay attention.
Well, and I guess the sexist view would be all like that they're presenting it as if it's a novel thing, you know, like, look, we built a woman thinks.
There's that too, right? Yeah. All right, let's get to some dispatches from the front. Ken F. wrote in and said, I know you guys talked about it, but Periscope could be a real game changer. I'm not a big boxing fan, but with all the hype, I peeked in on the big fight Saturday. It worked pretty well. How long do you think before they shut this down? Well, yes, they're already trying to shut this down. Can they? They're trying very hard to shut this down. Just looking through the app, it does not have a lot of possibility besides illegally streaming.
He says it does have a lot of possibility.
I said that wrong. It does have a lot of possibility besides illegally streaming stuff. Ken, I think you're even understating that. It is mostly about not illegally streaming stuff. Mostly it's people looking at their fridge and doing things and playing music and having fun. But this illegally streaming stuff, part of it, is more and more becoming an issue for the providers. Although, yeah, okay, Ken watched the fight and was like, hey, that's kind of interesting. But would he have paid otherwise? Did it actually take money out of the fight?
No. I mean, that's exactly like the folks who would watch the fight on Periscope, I would liken to the teenagers who record a song by holding their smartphone up to a speaker. Like they get this ultra low fidelity junk version, but they could kind of hear it, and they weren't about to spend that money anyway. They, you know, were they stealing music? You know, sure, I guess. But what's interesting is Periscope also falls into that weird middle ground, because on the one hand, he's of course talking about the bootleg streams of owned video content, and that is 100% piracy. That's 100% illegal. But when it gets to, you know, let's say you're there at the fight, you know, WWE during the Slam event, there people are Periscoping all over the place. You could get the entire pay-per-view event just by tuning into different people's Periscopes. And whether or not, you know, it does, the content and what happens in there does belong to those authorities. And some of them are going to be cool with it, some of them won't. But then, like, what if you're just a little bit farther out? How long until somebody who's not a ticket holder flies a drone up and just periscopes his view from outside the sports arena, or through a telescope? Somebody who lives in a well-positioned house is able to have a telescope in.
Well,
so
that
far.
Telescope thing's already been a problem. The Cubs like blazed that ground, and I don't remember all the details, but the fights over who could actually watch a game from a building next to Wrigley Field are legendary.
Yeah.
That's so interesting. Yeah.
We're just seeing the next fold on that. I think it's interesting.
Yeah, totally.
Deal. Hey man, we got a special email from Christopher G. Jones. Let's, in fact, actually, why don't you, oh, did you already pull out all the photos? Okay, well, I don't actually have it open then, so I'm gonna just vamp very briefly while I click on these things and then open up Christopher's email, because he wanted to talk about his mobile rig for when he's out on the road.
Traveling. How he cuts the cord on the road? Is that
it was something we talked about a little while ago. Perfect. He wrote
Chromecast,
he
Fire
says,
TV, what do you
mean? It's been a while since you asked this question, but I'm finally getting around to it. I travel a lot for work and spend a lot of time in rural areas. As such, the hotels aren't often to the most up to date, though most do have serviceable Wi-Fi, and I end up looking something like, they mostly look like this more than not, and you can see like a old CRT 4x3 television,
Big
which we've
Zenith.
All seen. Yeah, exactly. He says, enter my backpack of entertainment, which he provides a photo of. So he has a whole backpack just for this capability. He says, depending on how long I stay, contains everything for the cord cutter that needs on the road, Amazon Fire TV, sometimes my Xbox One, Surface Pro travel router, and the crown jewel, he's got it all hooked up to a projector that
nice.
Takes up an entire wall of his hotel. He says, that's an LG PA75U. He says, outside of Netflix, Amazon, and Hulu, I have a TiVo Romeo hooked up to an antenna at home that I'll put recorded shows onto a flash drive, which is nice if the hotel Wi-Fi can't keep up. This is how I watch what I want, wherever I want. Thanks for all you do, Chris. Thank you for the full report, Chris. That's fantastic.
Yeah, nice road gear, Chris. Like, you're serious about that stuff. That's awesome.
Yeah, I'm super jealous. I want that kit.
Andy says, maybe Chris could start marketing them. Ooh. Like, here's the kit.
Dude.
Referral links.
Not bad.
Andy says, thanks to y'all. I've officially cut the cord this week. Just wanted to show my love. Thanks, Andy. Congratulations. You are among many people who send us those kinds of notes, but you're representing for them this week.
Oh, dude, I love it.
Mike says, I have a pick that is a little time sensitive. It is a Kickstarter campaign for Sidekick. It is a secondary remote that clicks on your Roku, Apple TV, or Amazon Fire devices. It allows you to control basic functions like power and volume for your TV or receiver, hopefully a cheaper way to get down to one remote. Goes until May 21st. I pledge and hope others do as well.
Take a look at this. This thing, it looks like a sidecar for your existing remotes. And
so
basically,
they have four models, huh?
Yeah, these are the four biggest streamers, the Apple TV, the Roku, etc. And then you just teach it to turn the power off and on your television. You teach it to the IR blast to control your receiver. And now you don't have to get a universal remote. You don't have to have a bunch of extra buttons you don't need. This one truly does pass the babysitter test that we keep talking about.
$30, too. So I'm, because my first reaction was like, yeah, my Logitech Harmony remote doesn't have a shitload of buttons and works great and it controls everything and I don't have to teach it. I just tell it what it is. But a lot more expensive than $30. So, and Brian, I think you nailed it when we were talking on the phone earlier. This isn't for the person like me who has 16 devices.
Right. Or who even would already has a universal remote. I mean, this is when you give your grandmother an Apple TV or a Fire TV, then you also spend the 30 extra bucks to know that she's totally taken care of and click clack and it's totally. To be honest, I would get one of these, even though I do have a universal remote, just for the simplicity of giving it to my kids.
Veronica has no, she doesn't care.
No, so. I have a Harmony. I like it just fine. I don't need this. That's just fine. We already talked about the Harmony.
All right.
Actually, I'm with you, Veronica. I look at this and I'm like, I don't need this at all. But I think it would be
pretty
useful.
I like the idea.
And when I saw the price point, like $20 is one of the early bird prices, which is crazy cool. But for $30, that might be the thing. You still have to program it, but it's simple. And simplicity can be undervalued.
Yeah, so I guess you're going to just go to Kickstarter and search for SideClick. Is that what it's called?
Yes, SideClick.
Right. Everybody on. Needs a side click. Hey guys, says Norm, I can't tell you how refreshing it is to listen to your show since I'm watching Game of Thrones on Sundays, but even better as you recap Daredevil. For the first time ever, I'm ahead of you and love to hear you wonder what's coming next. And maybe for the next weeks, you can put on your cotton conjecture hats and theorize on the impacts of Daredevil season 2 on the other Marvel and Netflix shows. Will expectations be higher, or was Daredevil the most popular of the crowd so the others will fly under the radar? We'll talk more during spoiler time about Daredevil and Game of Thrones, but I think it's cool that Norm is excited because he's ahead.
Yeah, and also Kyle wrote us saying that he got a Nielsen survey and got a follow-up survey. He did the first survey from the postcard or whatever and got the full one, which wanted to know what shows he records on a VCR. He says he was excited to get his first survey in the mail, which he completed and got his crisp $1 bills. The first survey, if he remembers correctly, did mention shows you could watch online and asked about watching habits. He was more excited when he received a full survey packet in the mail, and he says, my wife was not excited when I flaunted the crisp $5 bills in the envelope, but later realized as a cord cutter, there were zero information he could fill out on this survey. They even have VCR references in the packet. Turns out there's nowhere on the survey to add shows that you watch online, and they only want cable, satellite, or OTA programs. He just thought it was interesting and trying to find the best way to return his survey, maybe filling it out only with online shows, House of Cards, Kimmy Schmidt, and saying when I want whatever device I want, bitches, he says. And he gave a couple of pictures of that, which I'm pretty sure violates some kind of NDA.
Wait, well, do they really put money in the envelopes?
Yes, they do.
Yeah, they do. I did arbitrage that same way. They put a crisp dollar bill in there.
They do.
I've never seen that before.
Yeah.
Wow.
These are usually, if you're getting a survey, they're usually for local markets, not national. National, they do a whole much more complicated system. Also, they have a different way of collecting data for cord cutters than they do for collecting data for your typical Nielsen numbers, and they all get mashed together later. So just because you got this outdated survey method doesn't mean it's the only way Nielsen's collecting the information. And because it was a survey, it was probably a local market, which means those VCR numbers might still make a big difference for a local television station on whether they get a big rating over that crosstown competitor or not, as crazy as that might sound.
Well, I learned something new every day.
Yeah.
I mean, it seems crazy, but like when you're talking about a sample size in a smaller city, a couple of people, there are people out there still recording shows on VCR. And if a couple people are recording Law and Order and watching it, and that goes into the ratings, suddenly the local CBS affiliate goes up, you know, up over the top in the ratings. It's insane.
Yeah, right on. Speaking of insane, where can we see more of you, Veronica Belmont?
You can see me every Monday on DTNS over there with Tom Merritt, or also on Monday I'm on the morning stream doing a video game segment around 9:15. I'm launching a new web show later next month. I don't think I'm supposed to talk about it yet.
Tell us anyway. It's fine. It's just us.
No.
Come on. It's just us girls. It's about pottery.
You guys will be the first to know, I promise.
Okay.
It'll be a lot of fun. And otherwise, yeah, just doing Sword and Laser and all the sorts of regular stuff that we always love to do.
Go check it out, veronicabelmont.com. Our website is cordkillers.com. Our email address is cordkillers@gmail.com. We're live on diamondclub.tv Mondays at 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Pacific. And we can't cut the cord for you, but we can tell you how to do it. We'll talk you through it.
High five you after you do.
Next week.
Hey, guys. Tom and Brian here. We just wanted to say
thank you to all of our $5 patrons who keep us loud, live, and independent. You guys make Cord Killers the production that it is.
Your name appears in the video credits and appears in our hearts. And if you'd like to become one of them or see who they are, you can go to patreon.com/cordkillers.
You'll need to do more than just go there, though. You'll have to sign up and, you know, pledge an amount. But
unless you just want to see who they are.
Well, I mean, you could gawk. That's a little creepy, isn't it?
If you want to be a gawker,
let's go
with you.
Diamond Club hopes you have enjoyed this program.